So here we are. Go back to Deuteronomy chapter 8. If you don't have a Bible, raise your hand. Ushers, give them one. I want you to see it. I don't just want you to hear me say it. Because, yeah, Deuteronomy chapter 8. Help him find it if he needs it. And let's be together on this. Now, what verse did we end on? We didn't go back into the verses last week because everybody was looking at me like they didn't do any studying. And I hope that's not the case today, right? I don't know, sis. You asked me where were we, so I don't. We asked at 11, yeah, 11, 10, or 11 last time. What was it, 11, Jeff? It was 11 last time where we ended. Good for you. Amen. I like that. We're recording while we're doing all of this, but amen. It's all good. It just lets people know we're a very interactive church. Amen. So, we started by just laying the foundations of don't forget the Lord, right? Don't forget. The commandment, the main key to this point is to this story or to this message is really, even though we're talking about focus and patience, it's not to forget God. In the process of becoming, don't forget the source of our inspiration. It's very easy to do that. The things that God gives us to succeed are not to be, what's the word I'm looking for, Lord? Don't think God is ever in competition or afraid of your greatness or your ability to function as a great person. Does that make sense? Don't make sense? Who doesn't it make sense to? Okay, just you. I'm explaining. You know I'm explaining it. You know I'm not going to leave it out there like that. I always throw it out there, and then I'm going to take the steak knife, and I'm going to cut it up in pieces. But we doing steak, though. We not doing milk. Amen. We all meat. Right. Now, we've been taught religiously that a sense or feeling of greatness in ourselves is a pride that God rejects. We're already in. Am I telling the truth? Yes. So anytime you feel any kind of strength or confidence or sureness about anything, there's this thought that kind of rises up almost without you even knowing it that says, hey, you better watch yourself. No, you're getting a little too cocky there. It's just Jesus. It ain't you. It's Jesus. Okay? So you get out of that, you get the dumb knucklehead Christians who you say, nice shoes. Oh, Jesus picked these shoes. Jesus did not pick them ugly shoes. I was just trying to be nice. You picked the shoes. Just say you picked them. If God led you, fine. But God let you have your own taste. Please. Come on. You all right? God didn't cut your meat and chew it for you. You did. He provided the means for you to get the meat. But you picked it. You cooked it. You seasoned it, you ate it, and God's not intimidated by any of that. God likes it that you have wisdom. God likes it that you have purpose. God likes it that you have function, that you have a brain, that you have confidence in the abilities that he's helped you groom and develop. God's never sitting in heaven feeling like, oh, they're getting too big for their britches. I don't. Like, it's no big we can get that's a threat to God on any level. There's not enough wisdom you could gather that would make God question his abilities. You got what I'm saying? So we understand the pride. Or do we? Because in the balance of trying to be humble, a lot of times we allow ourselves to be placed in the place of inferiority. In the desire to be humble, the devil sometimes slips in the sense of inferiority. And we feel like we're being humble, but we're just never becoming what God has called us to be in this false humility. As we're reading through Deuteronomy chapter 8, we keep seeing God saying, I need you to humble yourself because I desire to prosper you greatly. I desire to bring to you. So God is not saying, I want you to be inferior, but I want your sufficiency and your trust to be in me and not in your own designs. So God wants you great, but he wants you to understand your source. Hold up. I need to make sure I'm clear with this. Not because he's offended when you get off into thinking that it's all you. Not because he's troubled or worried or concerned. I want you to pay attention because this has been the theme through the whole message. God is not bothered by you being prideful. God is not offended by you being egomaniacal. See, some of you are going like, what? Really? I've heard that in church my whole life. He's absolutely not. He knows you, human. He knows what you're capable of. It doesn't bother him. It limits him to blessing you. See, God's thing is to get his word and his truth and his blessing and his covenant to you. Everything in God is, I want. He takes pleasure in the prosperity of his saints, of his servants. He loves it. But when we get off into self-indulgence, we limit God's ability to indulge us. I don't know if you heard that. I'm going to make you say it to make sure you heard it. God wants to indulge me. I don't know if you caught that, but I keep studying this, little sister, and here's what I keep seeing. The stuff that I pursue and I feel like I can get caught up in pride in and then believe God don't want me to have, every time I step back, God brings it back. Like, no, I want you to have that. I want you to have it, but I want you to have it through me. I want you to have it, but not the way the world does it. All that great stuff that you got focused on, I'm not worried about that. But your desire to have it has replaced your desire to have me. The way you're trying to make it happen, you're acting just like the heathens. You doing it what they do. You seeking it for the reasons they seek it. You're pursuing things that should be pursuing you. Got it? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and... No, you see, you went right to all these things. Seek ye first and... All these things shall be added unto you. So God is cool with all these things in their order. Seek the kingdom of God and right standing with God, not the things. I'm seeking God so that all these things will be added. And unfortunately, a lot of us went right there. All of these things. No. Right standing with God. That's what I seek. I want to make sure you heard that. I don't know if you heard that. You said, seek the first kingdom of God and all these things will be added unto you. So here's what this becomes if we're not careful. You hearing me? You hearing me? Be good and you get a lot of stuff. So it becomes about the things and not about God. I know why I ain't getting the things. I ain't seeking God first. So if I seek God first, then I get these things. And that's not what he's saying. He's saying, seek me and right standing with me, and the things just are. You're not seeking to be right with God so that the things will be added. You're seeking God so that you will be in righteousness with him and right standing with him. And God said, things are just things. Let me see if I can explain it to you in a simple way. I'm not what the world would call a rich man. But I feel like I'm a rich man. Amen. I'm a rich man. I'm rich in things that matter, and I got some money. So both. Hallelujah. Rich in love and happiness, and I got some cash. Okay? God has been good to me that way because I've been good to him that way. What I'm about to explain to you is why I am where I am. But my son grew up expecting a lifestyle. He grew up expecting a provision. Watch this. Not because of anything he did. Because he's in good relationship with his father. So he has keys or access to every home I own. And he doesn't call and say, "Dad, if I have found favor in your sight, and if my ways are pleasing to you, I want to know, could I spend the night at the house?" He says, "Dad, I'm going to the house. I'm over there. You're home? No, we're over here. Okay, well, I'm going over there." And he doesn't ask, can he stay? He just says, "I'm going." Now, sometimes the earthly person in me is like, "You asking me or you telling me?" You know, sometimes this is part of me like, "Wait a minute. You need to say that, phrase that a little different there." But then the other side of me goes, "What difference does he make? What way he phrased it, you still gonna let him stay. He ain't being disrespectful. He's acting as if his father has it and he has right to it. And until I say different, that is the case. Correct? Correct? You'll totally agree with me. Okay, well, let's talk about your father who runs the whole universe. He has it. Has he told you you can't have it? Has he said anything to you to make you feel that you don't deserve it? I know religion may have. I know church may have. But God hasn't. You can't show me the scripture where God said, "I don't want your niggas to have nothing. You're just supposed to be broken, poor, and figure it out." Church people tell you that the Lord can't put more on you than you can stand. That's religion. That's not biblical. That's religion. They preach that like that's a scripture somewhere. It's not. It's not. It's not in the Bible. It's not in the Bible, the Lord don't put more on you than you can handle. That's not in the Bible. Doesn't exist. Find it and show me it. Me and pastors got into head cracks all the time behind them. I'm like, "Can you show me that scripture?" "Well, you know, sometimes I don't want to hear your logic. Show me the scripture that says that." Sometimes God got to put you through things so you can't appreciate the sunshine until you had a rain. Okay, I heard that song when I was growing up. It wasn't even a gospel song. "You got to be a little rain in your life before you can appreciate the shine." I heard that. I heard church people sing, "I'm going up the rough side of the mountain, doing my best to make it in." I heard the songs. Can you show me the scripture?
Come on now.
I just want to see where God said it. Can you show me one place where God said, "I want you to be without"? I ain't talking about stuff now. Stuff, listen to me, say, "Pastor is not talking about stuff. He's talking about relationship. God said he would add the stuff." I'm trying to make sure our priority is right. God said he'd take care of the stuff. He said, "I don't want you focusing on stuff." You know what's funny coming up? My son never asked me, my daughter never asked me, my grandkids never asked me before they go to bed, "Is there going to be breakfast in there in the morning? Is there anything we need to do possibly to make sure that when we wake up there's food? And by the way, before we go to bed, are your bills paid? Or are you going, you know, are we going to still have this place in the morning?" Now, I need you to understand the depth of this. If I said to my kid, "For your birthday, I'm going to get you a bike," he never said to me, "You sure you can afford that? Let me check your finances and let me see and let me just make sure you got what you said you have." Based on the fact that I said it, That was enough for them to believe it was so. And every day, I'm going to get a bike for my birthday. They're telling their friends and everybody. They're talking about it like they have it. They're probably decorating it in their mind and everything. You know what that's based on? Somebody giving me the word. Relationship, yeah, but before that. Expectation, yeah, that's one thing, but what else? Trust. Trust. He trusts that if I said I provide it, I will. And that relationship, which your next said, comes after trust. Trust first. Then a relationship can grow. You ever try to be in a relationship with somebody you don't trust? You ever tried it? You just have the relationship first and then let's set the trust bill? How does that work? Doesn't work. I can associate with you. I might be friendly with you, but we're not going to have a relationship until I begin to believe that I can trust you. You with me? So God is asking us specifically in this time, in this season, through it in his word, not like he wasn't asking before, but this is the point I feel to drive home in this season, that our lack of trust in who God really is, not our understanding about what we read and what we heard preached. Hear with me now. Because relationship with God is personal, it's interactive. It's not Sunday morning, it's not sermon, and it's not when you go home and you hear a preacher on TV and you say, I think I could kind of believe that. That sounds good. I'm going to start confessing that. Let me say it again. It's not what you heard me preach and say, you know, I like that. I'm going to try to run with that. It's about a relationship of trust that you develop between you and God and that you receive an interactive relationship and you hear from God. I can quote scripture to you all day, but sooner or later, you got to take that to the source and say, is this correct? Is what he's saying right? How does that father apply to me? Yes. Well, I know God looks out for me. Good for you. How? He just does. He just makes the way out of no way. Okay? So you still just working off a lotto. You just playing the luck game. You still don't have a relationship with God. You still just expecting God to take care of you without any commitment or interaction from you. That's going to last a little bit, but sooner or later, that's going to get challenged because the enemy is going to step up. And he's not going to step up based on what you know. Hear what I'm saying. He's going to step up based on what you're not sure about. You ever had the enemy attack you? It's always on the scripture that you're not so strong on, not the stuff that you're definite about. If you believe wholeheartedly in healing, he'll attack your finances. If you believe wholeheartedly in provision, he'll attack you in your body. But he'll find the area that you don't have a strong grasp, and that's where he'll go. Because you're baiting, well, God always makes a way, but you don't have a relationship with God. You're just walking around expecting God to be your genie and to fix stuff every time it goes wrong. And eventually it does, because that's what your faith believes. I'm going to go through hell, but eventually God going to bring me out the other side. Well, if that's the relationship you want to have with God for the rest of your life, then have that. But it's not God's best. It's not God's best. God don't want you to have to go through a kind of hell first to figure it out. He wants you to obey him, seek first the kingdom of God, and right standing with him, and then all these things will be taken care of. Did we get something? I'm trying to teach you guys the things that God is reminding me about for my own walk in my own life. He's showing me, like, okay, son, when it comes to me taking care of you financially, you know how to pray, you know how to stand, you know how to sow, you know how to believe, but then there's other areas where you just leave me and go running. Working hard till you get frustrated and confused and tensed and all these kind of other things that I didn't call you to. I didn't call you to worry about how you're going to make a business run or how you're going to make a thing grow. Or how, he said, I didn't ask you to do any of that stuff. I asked you to seek me first. There's people I see running around for years trying to figure out how they're going to get healed. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and right standing with him. He'll take care of that. But don't I got to confess it? Okay, I didn't mean to go this long. Let's watch this. Because then it ceases to be about God and it becomes about your confession. Now it becomes you confessing that you're healed, but God is removed. It becomes a formula now, right? I'm healed in Jesus' name. I'm healed. I'm healed in Jesus' name. I believe I'm healed. I'm healed. I'm healed. I'm healed. I believe I'm healed. I'm healed. You ain't seeking God anymore. You ain't even calling on God. All you doing is saying magic words and thinking for some, if I say it enough times, I just may guilt God enough to come on down and heal me. So, he's saying, don't forget, God is the one. You ready for this? You ready for this? God created the phrase blessing, not you.
Come on.
I think he knows how it works then, right?
Yes.
Was that a revelation for somebody?
Yes.
God created the phrase blessing. We didn't. Man didn't come up with that. God did. God created provision. We didn't. God created prosperity and healing and goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. God came up with that stuff. So what formulas do we need when he made it? Why do we have to convince him of it when it was his idea in the first place? Now, this is how God has been speaking to me. Like, do you really think I need something so deep from you other than your obedience? It's my plan.
Hallelujah.
I'm not trying to hide it from you. It's my plan.
Yes.
Say, it's God's plan.
It's God's plan.
And I'm in it.
I'm in it.
So when we read this first verse, where he says, the commandments I'm giving you today, so that you may live and increase and enter and possess the land that the Lord promised with an oath to your ancestors. Very first verse. He's saying, be careful to follow my instruction that I'm giving you today so that you may live and increase. So he's saying, all I need from you to live and increase is just follow me. Because I have an oath that I made. See, people will make you a promise and they don't keep it. That's trust. Or the lack thereof. God made a promise. So based on that promise, let me just get right in your face a minute. So then based on that promise, that oath that God made, I have to decide if I trust that he meant what he said. That I may prosper and increase according to the oath or the promise that he made to my ancestors. Not the promise he made to me. This goes way back. He said, I've been trying to get this to your knuckleheads for a long time. All I need from you is your undivided attention. Somebody say undivided. Attention.
Attention.
Do you know what that means? Just think about that a minute. Because we've heard that phrase so much in school, I need your undivided attention. But let's break down the core of that statement. We don't give anything our undivided attention. The key to life is to multitask. Am I wrong? If you can multitask, you're the man, you're the woman, right? So we have learned, even in serving God, to multitask. Well, I have my Bible with me everywhere. I'm on my phone. Oh, text messages came. See what this is. I'm going to get back to the Bible. Let me see what this is. Oh, LOL. Hey, okay, now what was you saying, God? Let's go. Come on, y'all. Our attention is divided. People put on gospel music and put the TV on. Our attention is divided. Uh-oh, I got to mute this right now. This is the part of the show I want to see. Come on now. Come on, y'all. I'm not trying to beat nobody up. I'm talking about God, what God's been saying to me. That's all I'm saying. I'm talking about what God has been saying to me. If the shoe fit, you're welcome to wear it. I'm just telling you what God's been saying to me. God said, when do I get your undivided attention? For me is when I'm asleep. But when I stop to focus on, and I'm not telling you, you need to be fasting every day and praying 50 times a day. I'm not telling you what to do. I'm just telling you, but when you do it, can you seek the Lord that say, God, at least let me give you the attention you deserve. If we gave God the attention we give all our goals and dreams and everything else, we'll be a lot further. And the thing that you work on the most is the thing that you're going to see moving or not moving the most. That's the bottom line. So I ask people all the time, what do you want to be? Well, I want to be this. What are you doing right now? Well, I'm doing this. So then how you want to be that if you're doing this? Well, eventually I'm going to move to that. So then say maybe one day, someday you want to be that. But what you want to be is what you're doing right now. Right?
Yeah.
Isn't that where you want to raise? The job you have right now, that's not a bad thing. But just to stop lying to ourselves.
Right.
When God asked me for my undivided attention, I said, wow, you ready for this? Pastor speaking. I said, I don't know if I could do that. Just me? Just me? I said, God, I don't know if I can do that. I'm gonna need your intervention right here. I'm gonna need a move of your spirit because I don't know how to give you my undivided attention. Can I just drop the mic and walk off right there? I said, God, I don't know if I can do that. Matter of fact, I don't think the ability is in me to do that. I try to pray, and I try to make sure I got everything in a row around me before I try to pray. And while I'm praying, I'm in the middle of prayer. I'm saying, wait, but did I do that? So I already know the ability in me doesn't exist. But it gives me a new place to cry out. It's showing me where I'm missing things. God is opening doors to me. He's enlightening my eyes. That's what he does for all of us. He says, come to me. And what have I been saying to you from the beginning of this message? Focus on the things, the primary things, the things that are more important. Not all the things that we get caught up in, but the things that are of real value, like water. Things we don't think about as a big deal until somebody takes it from us. And God has been saying to me, I'm taking you back to your roots. The foundation of who we are is not about all these things, the technology and electronic this and that. And I can turn on TV and watch TV all day. God's like, okay, but what's that have to do with you and me? That's nice you watching these people preaching to get you excited, but where's our relationship? Can I get 5 minutes? And I had to say to God, I don't know if I could do that. I can pray for 5 minutes, but undivided? I don't know if I have that skill set. How many of you have that skill set? Like, oh, yeah, no, I could just pray and just nothing comes up. Nothing distracts me. I just pray. Not one. Okay, so this is a good message then, huh? Then this is something we all need to fix before the throne. And we can't fix it. God will fix it. But at least us acknowledging that it's a shortcoming gets us on the path to correction, amen? And that's all I'm trying to do in this season. I want to make sure we cover all the little bases and the little foxes that spoil the vine and the little leaven that leavens the lump and that just that whole little sneaky way the enemy gets in, and before you know it, you're off somewhere else and forgot all about what you and God was doing. Is this helpful?
Absolutely.
If so, say amen.
Amen.
We're strong people. We're called to be strong and mighty. God has never got concerned about what we have and what we don't have, what we desire and what we don't desire. Those are not concerns of God. God's concern is how much influence do I have in your life? Are you allowing me to take you to the levels that you keep confessing you believe you're supposed to have? Now, I'm not even talking about the stuff God's spoken of, the stuff you speak over your own self. How many of you believe you call for great things? See? How many of you feel like those great things, you got them? Problem. If you believe God's called us to great things and we don't have them, somebody's missing the mark. Can't be God. And the lie of religion is that because God is disappointed in you because you ain't got your together, and that's why he ain't blessing you. And that's not the truth at all. The truth is all the promises of God are yea and amen. They exist. They're already here. An angel not going to drop down from heaven with a bag of money. They don't make money in heaven. All your resources are here. How long it takes you to get to them is you. How long it takes us to line up with the flow of God is us. Have you ever looked at a move of God in your life? I didn't plan to go on this long. But have you ever looked at a move of God in your life? It happened for you maybe recently or whatever. And you say, wow, if I had done this 10 years ago. If I had done this. Anybody? Hands again. See? So you know at the end you go like, wow, you know what? If I had just listened to this a while ago. Well, why didn't we listen to it? Because we didn't trust what we heard. We didn't trust what we heard because the relationship with God is void. We didn't sit with the Father long enough to make sure we heard it from him and then say, okay, God, in those times when my mind wants to wander, I can anchor myself to what my spirit knows. Do I need to get off of this and get on something else? No. You're sitting there looking at me real stone today. Is it that deep? Selah moments? I want us to break through churchianity. I want us to break past these religious sayings and cliches that just make us church folk. We are called to be dynamic people. You'll know it. I see sparks of it in all of y'all. You're coming, you're telling me stories, and I go like, oh, my God. You can clearly see God was there. You can see, and you're going, yeah, amen. God is so faithful. Yeah, but why is it still such a surprise to us when God is God? Why are we still so amazed and shocked when God is God? Am I telling the truth? We're still like, God showed up. Like, really? God was always there. You just finally lined up to the place, or you got desperate enough, or you got yourself in such a mess that you shut your face and let God show you where he needed you. Right?
Yes.
Why can't we do that every day? When we wake up in the morning and put our feet on the floor. Why we got to find ourselves in a hole before we find God? And don't say that's God's will. That's not God's will. That's man's stubbornness. So I said, God, I don't know if I can do that. I don't think I can give you my undivided. And not that I don't want to. I don't know how. In the world I live in today, I don't know how. And then people on their deathbed. You notice that? Always have this profound relationship with God. You notice that? You notice that? Because everything else is removed. Undivided attention. You ain't got nothing to do but lay in that bed and talk to God. You hearing and seeing and angels walking around the room, and it's angels. And I'm like, the angels been there. They've been there walking around. They've been there. You just couldn't see them. Your face was planted in your text message. You couldn't see them. You follow what I'm saying? Again, not chewing us out, waking us up. Me too. Everything I'm saying is what God said to me. I need you to wake up. I need you to tune in. Dad, I don't know how. Good. The fact that you're saying that, I can work with you. Can somebody say to God right now, God, I don't know how. Help me. That's a start. Didn't that feel good?
Yeah.
Didn't it feel good? Like AA, you stand up and say, God. But this is the relationship with God and what it really is. It really is. It's not about being religious and super religious and being able to quote a ton of scriptures and give the biggest offerings and all these stupid things that church has turned into a sideshow and a commercial event and a concert. No, it's about the realness. I didn't mean to do all of this, but I'm going to do it. My son sat talking to me about this thing he read. And he was this woman, he said, who had this visitation from God, and God took her and showed around heaven, showed around hell, I think, too, and kind of showed how things go. And she said she began to see in the spirit that every ordained church had an angel that sat on top of it, a big, powerful, like a leader of angels, and he had a league of angels that worked under him, and they all walked around taking notes. Now, I've heard this story before from somebody else who said they had seen inside the realm of heaven. So I know it bore witness with my spirit. He said, and he got an angel that's over the tithe. And he stands there and he watches who gives and what their heart is when they give. And he makes note of that. And then you got one who's over praise and worship. And he watches the praise and worship. And he watches to see if they're performing or if they're really worshiping God, if they're really giving God their heart, or they're just trying to, you know, impress everybody with their singing. And he said, and these different angels assigned to different things, they watch the services and they watch the flow and they take notes and they bring them before the throne. Well, that lines up with the book of life that the Bible talks about. Your name is in the book of life and these events are written down. That's how they decide if you're wood, hay, and stubble, or if you get a crown, based on these. Oh, come on, somebody need to listen to me. And I thought about that, and I said, that's why the Bible says, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it flows the issues of life. Not guard your money, not guard your bank account, not guard your vehicle. He said, guard your heart. We don't guard our heart. We want passwords to keep people from breaking into our emails. But our heart, we just leave open. People can walk in and walk out whenever they want. Be it through relationship, be it through hurting your feelings, be it through offense. People walk in and out your heart with no problem. You think I'm telling a lie? I could walk up to any one of you right now and probably cuss you out, and you'll be thinking about it all week. I can't believe he said that to me. Oh, I'm just so crushed. Oh, my world is destroyed. Right, just like that. Instant access. And God said to me, your heart is not guarded. Anything offends or hurts your feelings so easy. So when I told you a story about the young man walking up to me and giving me the middle finger and me saying, what exactly are you trying to say? It's because my heart's in a better place. I want to know what are you trying to tell me? Only to discover that he was trying to show me his band-aid. Now, I'm not going to tell the story again because I've told it for the past couple of weeks. But the thing is this. A year ago, I would hit the man in the face. Or grabbed them up or something, or got angry and ready to fight. Whatever the case, my spirit would have been intruded on by his middle finger. Like, really? Really? Somebody sticking a finger up at you and that's it? That's all it takes to get you put in the joint? Your heart's not guarded. It's an open door. And the devil could run in and out at his free will whenever he feels like it. And I'm going to tell you this. I've been very mindful since that event to guard my heart against offense. I've been very, very like, wow, how many things have I gotten bent out of shape about that had no real issue or meaning to it? Or shouldn't have had, even if it did. Even if they meant malice. Why do I care? Who am I in this realm of this earth that I am so easily pushed around and maneuvered by the words of a person? And I'm searching myself right now to understand my right standing with God. If I know who I am in God, I don't care what you say to me. Not saying I've achieved, but for forgetting those things which are behind me, I press forward to the mark of the high calling. I'm not saying I got it yet. I'm saying this is the road I'm on. I don't want you to think I ain't got it because you come up and do something, I might slap you. I'm saying this is my goal. To be in that place that I'm only moved by the Spirit of God. I thought I'd get a few more amen than that. I thought that would touch somebody. I want to be to the place that I'm only moved by the Spirit of God. I'm going to keep saying it. I want to be in a place that I'm only moved by the Spirit of God. Start to sound a little more genuine. Let's try one more time. I want to be in a place where I'm only moved by the Spirit of God.
Amen.
Sound a little bit better. One more time. We want to be in a place where we are only moved by the Spirit of God.
Amen.
Yeah, okay, that felt more real. I had to put my preacher voice on. But you feel it? And I had to make it we. I had to take it off of me and make it we. That's what it is, right? I had to get everybody involved. We are that powerful. Somebody say, we are that powerful.
We are that powerful.
Say, we are that anointed.
We're
called to be it, so we can be it without struggle. You believe that? We're called to be it. He said, be holy as I am holy. And I should look at that scripture and say, God, seriously? That's not going to happen. I'm like, that's not going to happen. You just put that there just this conversation. There's no way you expecting me to be as holy as you. And then one day it hit me. Why would he ask me to be it if I can't?
That's right.
So I said, then I got to look at what holy is. And how do I be as holy as him? And let me tell you what I found out. The moment you said, Jesus, I accept you as my Lord and Savior, in the realm of the Spirit, you are. You already are. Now, how do you get your flesh to line up with that? What I've been saying the whole message, you learn to listen to your spirit and not your flesh. It's not impossible. It's a process. How many of you are quite a bit holier than you were before you got saved? Aren't you better walking in a lot of places that you used to, right, without hesitation or thought? You just did it and didn't even think it was wrong. And now you just steer clear from that because it's not even a desire for you anymore.
Hallelujah.
Well, if he's the author, he's also the finisher of my faith. If he got me from there to here, he can get me from there to everything he told me to be.
Amen.
The trust issue, I don't believe he can. I don't believe I can. I don't believe I'm worthy enough. I don't believe I'm good enough. I don't believe I'm right enough. I don't believe I'm smart enough. I don't believe I'm educated enough. Whatever these lies that devil starts to feed your mind with to make you think that you somehow have to deserve what God has already given you. Man, I just went a whole different place from what I had lined up in my notes today, but if it helped you, say amen.
Amen.
Listen, we are powerful people. God has called us to be powerful. But our flesh is the baggage that we carry. It's a temporary baggage. If you ever think about this, and I don't know if you ever thought about this, how many of you believe in eternal life? How many of you don't believe in eternal life? Believe once you die, you're dead, it's over. Okay, so everybody believes in eternal life, even if you didn't put your hand up. Okay, let me try it again. How many of you believe in eternal life? Okay, you do. I didn't plan to do this, but let's just take a note real quick. How many years do you live on earth in average? 75, 80 years. Sometimes you do better, you may get up there, but 75, 80 years, right? Good and bouncing around, doing stuff, still living a life years, right? Let me ask you a question. Have you ever tried to weigh eternity against the 70 years that you give so much value to? Have you ever tried to compare time of eternity to 100 years on earth? Let's think about that. Something my stepfather Cookie said to me. He said he was talking to me about hell, and he was talking to me about when he gave his life to the Lord, and he said to me, And he was a dying man. He knew he was. And he said to me, I don't understand it. He says, this is deep. He said, and you know how Cookie thought. He said, if you took all the sand of all the seashores in the world, and then you took one grain and held it on your fingertip, that would be the comparison of eternity to the time we live on this earth. Who would want to gamble that against that? He said, whatever you go through here, no matter good or bad, for you to spend eternity in hell, that's crazy. I said, if that's what it took to make you get saved, then that's good. That's a good analogy. That's a good way to look at it. What are you willing to sacrifice eternity for so that you can have a good weekend? That's serious. Now, taking it out of trying to put it in the context of trying to scare somebody, I'm not talking about from the scary point. I'm talking about from the value point, from the value proposition. Why would I trade an eternal God's protection and provision for the world's meager existence? If he's telling me this is an ancestral gift, a promise that has been around for the ages for me to bring you into a place of provision and wealth and well-being and prosperity and success and peace, why would I chase the world's, and you don't even get 75 years when it comes to your work or life experience, because the first few years you're living under mama's care, and then after that you get out on your own. So by the time you probably really hit the world and doing something, you're in your 20s. So that's 20 already gone. And then if you only live another 50, and we'll trade the pursuit of that for the promise of kingdom. I know this as the truth for me. God told me Friday, I want you to totally fast social media. So I want you to fast it. I was like, okay. You know how hard that was the first day? I got used to looking on the thing every 20 minutes to see if it went from 20 to 30. And I said, wow. We get bound by so little so easily. I guarantee you, if I told you today to fast texting for a day, some of y'all will go to withdrawal. They said, you could do it? But you look at it. I ain't even about texting back at me, fast it, shut it. There you go. So you see what I'm saying? Yeah, you try to come up with it. Well, I cannot respond. No, I'm talking about dead off. No text, no email, one day. See? I'm not telling you to do that. I'm not saying to say the Lord. I'm just trying to make a point. That's between you and God. I'm just trying to make a point. Undivided attention.
Right.
You get lost up in the mountain somewhere and you don't have no phone, I bet you give them your undivided attention. When you start hearing the coyotes go, oh, in the middle of the night, I bet you then you won't be saying, where my phone? You say, oh, Lord, Lord, Lord. I never needed you before, I need you now. So it can be done. You hear what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It can be done. It's just that we usually don't do it until we're forced into a corner. And then we'll say, God had to let this happen. No, you had to let it happen.
Right.
I'm wrapping it up. Stand with me. I'm wrapping. No, I still got time, but I don't want to beat a dead horse with this. And it's not what I planned to do today, but it's what God wanted, and I'm good with it. You learned something, yes?
Yes.
Your greatness is not being kept from you. Say that.
My greatness is not being kept from me.
Say this too. Say, my God
has
never wanted anything but me to do well, be at peace, and prosper. I need to line up with his directions. I'm deciding today I'll be clearer, hear better, resist my flesh, and follow his flow. Father, teach me to hear you, to understand you, to trust you, and to obey you. I know that every word spoken for me today is mine to have. I claim it. I keep it. I own it. Thank you for looking out for me with the little I've given you. With the little I've given him, I know. Imagine if I give him my all. Imagine if I give him my undivided attention. I don't know if you feel what I'm feeling right now. Oh. You must have prayed that from your heart, because I feel his presence. Father, bless your people. Guide us to your truth. Continue to give me the words that need to be said. Disrupt my message anytime. Give me what I need for them and what I need for me, that we become excellent disciples, not tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, but focused and clear. Your sheep know your voice. We are your sheep. And the voice of a stranger we shall not follow. We are clear. We're precise. Father, I speak to every distraction that's assigned itself, every distracting demon that's assigned us to our lives, every little thing that's been pulling us to the left and to the right. I speak right now for clarity. I speak right now that we see everything for what it is, not for what it's promising to be. That we see you, Father God, in everything, and the things that you're not in, we have the strength and the power and the fortitude to cast out our lives. We are strong in you, Lord. And in the power of your might. And we are not pushed aside. We are clear. We know your voice. And we thank you, Lord, that your words that if we seek your kingdom and our right standing with you, that all the things, the wisdom, the guidance, the direction, the needs, the provision will be added. Today we receive it. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for being good to us. Thank you for showing us your care even when we haven't given you our all. And we know, Father God, that you will teach us how to give you our all.
Yes, God.
And we bless you for it now.
Yes,
in the name of our Savior Jesus. And the people of God said,
amen.
Amen. Amen.